You came here for a purpose. You're going to get it tonight, right? Tonight you'll hear something that will be something that could change your life and destiny forever if you apply it. Here is the word only. It doesn't work. You've got to be a doer of the word. You can hear it and hear it and hear it, and the day you apply it is the day that you receive it. Okay? So I asked God, what does he want me to teach on? I went through a bunch of stuff. It's all good. All God's stuff is good. But I wanted to know, okay, this Wednesday night, what is it? So here we go. Worry doesn't work. Worry makes things worse. Isn't that interesting? Now, we remember in Matthew chapter 6, that's a classic. Let me read it to you out of NIV. At the end, I'm going to read it to you out of the Message. Now, this is Jesus talking, okay? Not that the Holy Spirit talking through one of the apostles or one of the letters isn't important. But I tell you, when Jesus talks, he said, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Let me stop right there. He takes care of the birds. They are maintained. Birds are in maintenance mode. Maintenance mode. You as a Christian, some of you would like to be in maintenance mode, but we are assigned sowing and reaping. Birds are not. They are forever maintenance mode. When the children, the Hebrew children, were in the desert for 40 years, they were in maintenance mode. They had their basic needs covered, but that was it. Their basics were all covered, but that was it. Animals, birds, whatever, they're in maintenance mode. We are not like that. That is a lower level than what God has called us to. He said they don't sow, they don't reap, but they are maintained at a particular level. We've got an upgrade on that one for sure. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? God likes feeding birds. Did you know that? Anybody here got a bird feeder? Where'd you think you got that from? Where did that idea come from? Like, I want to feed the birds. Because God's a bird feeding person. And so if you go, I just want to watch them. I just want all the different kinds to come and all the different colors and all that stuff. And I got to make sure I got so much of the sunflower and so much of the other stuff. That's because you and God are pretty much alike. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow's thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You don't have to have a long list of prayer requests. You can just seek out God and say, okay, God, you know, the rest, you've got that covered. And he'll do that. And some people say, well, it says you have to ask first. Well, then ask. Okay, God, cover all the other stuff. In Jesus' name. Because a lot of people, their prayers come down to their list of things to ask for, and in Jesus' name, amen. I guess I'm done. I'll see you tomorrow, God. We don't want to do that. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Who said do not worry? Jesus said, don't do it. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, he's the one that has the answer to every issue, to every problem, circumstance, situation. No one has ever worried food into their home. I mean, we have not called together, we'll have prayer on Tuesday nights. We'll have worry group on Thursday. We're all going to get together and we'll worry. No one has ever worried clothes into their closet. I need some more clothes. I need to worry. If I could just worry an hour a day for my clothes, I could fill my closet. No one has ever worried sickness away. Have they? Does that work? No, just if we could worry some more, it would go away. No one has ever worried their bills paid. If you could just get pathetic enough, you think that God would, you know, drop by and see what's going on, you know. But we're not to be beggars. We're to be asking people and then move on. On and on. No one has ever worried themselves into spiritual growth. Not that I know of. Don't know one. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, except, like, there are some stuff, right? So a couple of categories, right? That, of course, there's some, but, I mean, sometimes you just got to be, you can't help it, right? I mean, it's so important that you got to worry, right? Is that what the Bible says? No, we add to it when we say, except for. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Oh, God can't mean that. He can't mean every situation, because there's some things that are so important that you have to worry. Worry doesn't work. Worry makes it worse. Do you know any parent that's ever worried their kids into becoming wonderful kids? You'll hurt your kids. Worried about your marriage? You'll hurt your marriage. Whatever you worry about, you do damage to, because your words are spiritual. They go forth and they create. Well, I got to worry about my kids. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Worry is banned by God. It's banned. You can't have any of it on you. You know, they bust you and you got some worry in your pocket. It's not mine. I don't know how it got there. You know, I didn't know I had any on me, but somebody must have put it in there. People in the world will get mad at you if you don't worry with them. They will. They'll be mad at you. They'll unload their worries on you and expect a response. And if you don't worry with them, they'll get ticked off. They'll get upset if you don't join with them, because they equate worry with caring. They've redefined it so that if you really love someone and really care, you'll worry. If you really love someone and really care, you won't worry, because you will hurt them. You can care tremendously without worry. You can love tremendously without worry. Worry will hurt your loved ones. You'll do them damage. Some people pray to God. They believe thereby in faith, and then time goes by, and they don't see the answer materialize yet. So now they're ticked off at their spouse. They can't really technically be angry at God because they know that that's not a good idea. And so the time goes on and there's a delay, and now they're angry at the one or somebody that's closest to them. They're ticked off at them. They're angry at them, really, because they know, I can't be mad at God, but I stood in faith and I'm waiting here, and now what am I supposed to do? And so they'll be angry at somebody that they're closest to. Some people... No, I'm going to go on. Worry and anger. Worry and anger. Worry and anger are very, very similar. In some cases, you can't tell the difference between the two. Worry and anger both anticipate a loss. Both of them. Both of them. Whether if you're angry, you're angry because of a loss. That one that occurred or is occurring, or you're pretty sure it's going to occur. Worry anticipates a loss. They're the same thing. Worry and anger both deal with feeling helpless, feeling very powerless. The people that worry feels like, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. People that are angry are feeling very helpless and very powerless. And a lot of people have not equated worry and anger. Yet you know people that worry all the time. If you hang around with them, guess what? The anger is going to pop. And they've got some real anger management issues that they need to deal with, or they have worry management issues. They're virtually the same. People that worry all the time, they got a quick temper. Or if you dig a little deeper, they'll go off on you. Worry and anger are pretty much interchangeable. So a lot of Christians never admit that they have an anger issue, but they worry all the time. If I'm around somebody that worries all the time, I know it's not long before they're going to go off on me. Because they're feeling powerless, they don't know what to do about it, a loss is just before them, and they think, oh, I don't have an anger issue. What are you talking about? I don't. I'm just worried. Okay. How often do people who never worry about anything get angry? It's hard to get them angry. The ones that they don't worry about anything. People that are at a very high level of faith often look apathetic. You can't get them to react to loss. And you go, they don't care. I don't think they care. I just don't think they care. Because if they cared, they'd react with the rest of us. Don't they know how important this is? Yet at very high levels of faith, that person is unmoved. And you look at them thinking, I don't think they get it. I don't think they even understand what's going on because they're not reacting. And the answer is, at a high level of faith, the people that aren't worrying, they won't react. I worry a lot. Well, then you're angry a lot. No, I'm just worried a lot. Well, you're probably ticked off a lot. Other people that live with you and around you, they're not seeing it as worry. They're seeing it as you're angry. God is your very present help in time of trouble. That's Psalm 46:1, right? God, your help in time of trouble. We got that one, right? Do we believe that? I think we should. But he helps you in the time of trouble. But if you worry, you're on your own. Didn't you know that? God's not going to sit down and worry with you. Oh, come up here. We'll worry together. God's not going to worry with you. You're on your own, and that's not where you ever want to be. God will not cooperate with your worry. Worry declares a loss. Faith declares a gain. Worry cancels faith out. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Hebrews 11:6. Worry will block your joy. It'll pull the strength right out of you. Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. You'll feel exhausted. It's a very, very exhausting thing. I can't remember who said it. One person said, one day of worry is like working for a whole week. A Johns Hopkins University study proved that people who worry die sooner than those who don't worry. You go, oh, really? But they proved it, study after study. Some Christians gossip about other Christians' sins. Huh? Shocker. There's usually a short list of stuff, and usually physical addictions or something else, what they're doing. And they'll be talking, did you know that so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da? You know, really? Yeah, don't say anything about that because, you know, we should pray for them. But you never hear anybody say something like, did you know? Now, don't say anything, okay? This is just between you and me. Did you know that Dennis worries sometimes? I know. Don't say anything. I know. Because we never equate worry with any other issue or problem. And yet some of the physical things that people are struggling with and dealing with aren't anything close to what can kill with worry. The attitude of worry where you're believing and declaring and going over and over your losses and powerlessness is deadlier than anything you could smoke, drink, shoot, watch. I don't know. The issue is that we never equate it like so-and-so is a worrier. Oh, I know. But we should repent, shouldn't we? But I can't help it. Why? Because you were probably taught to worry by your parents, who were taught to worry by their parents. Well, that was different because they had to go through the Great Depression. Of course, they had to worry. Right? And then the next ones, they had to worry because they were coming out of the Great Depression, and then there was World War II, and then the next ones, they had to worry because there was Korea, and there was recession and depression. And yeah, you were probably taught by them and the grandparents who took it on as a good thing, they thought. They thought that I worry because I care. If I didn't care, I wouldn't worry. But you will hurt your whole family if you think that that's the way you ought to be. You think that that's one way of showing love? What if you took that same amount of time and said, okay, God, I turn this over to you. I believe you. I'm praying in the name of Jesus on behalf of them. And you take the same amount of time. What if you didn't take the same amount of time but spent 60 seconds praying for them? We need to break these generational things, including worrying, and we love our parents and we love our grandparents, but some of them pass down stuff that you shouldn't have in your household. And as much as you love them and whatever, the Christians going to heaven, or maybe they went there already, worry is not a good thing that could have been passed on. Now, when I worked at the City of Faith, people that had anger issues or people that had worry issues, and let's say they were going to have a one-on-one counseling appointment, this is how we do it. Okay? For the first 5 minutes, you get to worry solid, as much as you can worry in 5 minutes. And then the other 55 minutes is mine, and we're going to deal it. But you can concentrate all your worrying, and you have to pile it all in that 5 minutes. Ready? Go. Come on. You're wasting time. You only got 5 minutes to worry, because after that, there's no worrying for the next 55 minutes. Do you know what they would say, whether it was worry or anger? Well, I can't do it when, like, you tell me to do it. Yet, they may have been the same people that said, I can't help it. But then you go, okay, worry for the next 5 minutes, ready, go. They can't do it. They can't pull it off. That tells me something. They're not as powerless over it as you might have thought. If they can't just turn it on and turn it off, then they got more control over it. And it showed them one thing. When they couldn't get angry or couldn't get worried at because of a command for the next 5 minutes, all of a sudden it gave them revelation. The light went on. They thought, wow, I can beat this thing. I can control this thing. Because right now, I can't make myself worry. I can't make myself angry. I can't make myself do it. Then you got more control than you thought. Kind of blows that I can't help but theory right out of the water. There's this one executive that he didn't have time to worry. So he decided, and he wasn't a Christian, not that I know of anyway, he just decided to manage my life. Worry is, I cannot worry all the time. So I am going to pick a day a week, and that's going to be my worry day. And the other 6 days, I'm not going to worry about it. So he made a worry box. And in this worry box, it had a slot in the top. And every time he had something to worry about during the week, he wrote down what it is to worry about to stick it in the box. So when he got to Wednesday, he could worry. Because Wednesday was going to be worry day. Wednesday is worry day. And he'd stick those in the slot. And then Wednesday would come. He'd open the box and he'd start going through them. And he'd go, well, they had most all resolved themselves by the time Wednesday got there. So he had nothing to worry about. He goes through his old box and it's like, Wednesday's my worry day. And all this stuff that I stuck in there to worry about, I'm not going to worry it now. I'll worry on Wednesday. It had resolved itself so quickly. And I thought that was kind of clever. Now, I do not recommend you pick a day to worry. You'd be unscriptural if you did, but this person realized that most things resolve. Well, you don't know my situation. It's been going on for years. Or you don't know the person that I'm with or the situation I'm facing. Well, no, I might not, but you don't know God well enough then to know that, like Shelley said, just the tiniest bit of God in that situation changes everything. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In 480 BC, King Xerxes of Persia decided to attack the Spartans. And there was a whole lot of Persians and not very many Spartans. If they'd have met out on the field, in a big open field, I'm sure the Spartans would have fought very courageously, but they would have been slaughtered rather quickly. The Spartans moved back into the mountains with their military and found a place to stop with a very narrow pass. So the Persian armies came to attack them, but the pass was so narrow, only one soldier at a time could come through it. So the Spartans would dispatch that one and wait for the next one to come through the slot and get rid of that one and wait for the next one to come through the slot. If they tried to take them on all at once, they couldn't. But as long as they came through that slot in that mountain pass one at a time, they got them all. I mean, at a certain point, it's like, this isn't working. What do you do if you have a worry? Dispatch it. Get rid of it. It just came through the slot. If you add them all up, you'd be like fighting out in the battlefield, and you say, I just give up. This is too much. I just want to stop. And if you can't stop, some people select different kind of addictions, either fantasy addictions or chemical addictions, just to push the pause button because they feel overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. But if you can take them on one at a time and go, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this one. I am not going to worry about this one. Well, it's easier for you to say because you don't know my situation. Same God, same power is available. And if you release the power of God into their lives with your words and then back off and go on to the next part, dispatch them with a faith statement. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Speaking out of your own head or some other stuff is not going to help. You speak the word of God over it. God created this entire deal with words and gave us the ability to change things with words, faith words, and then act on it. That's just saying something. When you're saying something, that is action, that is activity. Speak the word only. We believe, therefore we speak. Is that a verse? Yeah. We believe, therefore we do what? We speak. There's mountains in our way that were created by words. We move mountains out of the way. There might be fig trees that aren't producing that we can kill at the roots. There may be a storm brewing in that we'll speak to. That's not the same as praying. Praying is when you're requesting things from God the Father, but that doesn't take long. Most of your prayer life should be praise and worship. Speak, you speak. Well, I'm not God. I know. You're the one put in charge who's in authority on this earth that opens up the avenue. How do you do it? In Jesus' name, da-da-da-da-da. Speak the word over it. And then what do I do? Well, you worry about it till it happens, right? No. Listen, there's certain things you can't change. You can't change your decisions of the past. You can't. You can't unring that bell. But you can forgive others. They could forgive you. You could forgive yourself. You can't change the past, but you can change the future. Didn't know I'd be where I am right now, but how do we get to the next spot? You don't go on a vacation and find out, oh, no, I took a wrong turn and we've been traveling for 3 hours and now I'm in the wrong city. I guess I'll have to go back to the beginning and start over. What do? You don't do that. You replot. Where am I at now? How do I get from here? How do I get where I intended to be? I didn't plan on being here, but here I am. Now, how do I get to where I am? You apply the principle of faith and speak over it, and then what do? You have a good life. Yeah, but what if these other things keep coming up? They probably will, but you can have a good life. Yeah, but I'm connected to all these people that are having bad lives. You can have a good life. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your situation is. So, worry is a rough, exhausting road banned by God. Worry doesn't work. Worry makes things worse. It just doesn't work at all. Now, let me close with Matthew 6 again out of the Message Bible. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach and more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much as an inch? And all this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out in the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? the 10 best-dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think that he'll attend to you? He'll take pride in you, do his best for you. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way that he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what he may or may not be doing tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Praise God. Bless God. So worry doesn't work, and worry makes things worse. And boy, when the worry is gone, all of a sudden you're going like, what is this? What is this? And you go, this is a different kind of life. And you can't make exceptions. You can't qualify, say, well, I've got to worry about my marriage. I've got to worry about my kid. I've got to worry about the economy. I've got to worry about my job. I've got to worry about, because these are exceptions. Certainly God didn't intend for us to not worry about any of these, because these are important. And the answer is no. The answer was, it is a God banned thing. Father, your word is true. We've declared it tonight. We've heard it spirit to spirit, revelation. And in some cases, Lord, everything I've said, I know it's been heard before, but we will commit to doing your word and getting the results. I know that you don't worry. I know that there's no worry around you. I know that nobody around you in heaven is worrying. They know what you will do and what you have done and can do. And so they don't worry at all. Lord, may we be like them, as the days of heaven are days on earth to us. And you be glorified as the result. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. And we love you, Holy Spirit. Amen.